All right, let's get the session started. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the session introducing groups. My name is Sangya Singh. I'm a program manager in Exchange. And today, along with my friend, Andrew Friedman, here, we're going to be sharing details about a new feature set that's going to light up in the service later this year around group communications and collaboration. This is a set of features that a large variety of teams across engineering and design team in Office 365 have been working on for the last couple years. So it's a really large investment, and we are super proud to represent them and actually have a chance now to share with you details about these new feature set and get early feedback. So here's how the session's going to flow. I'm going to spend some time talking about why are we doing these feature sets, what are some gaps that we see in our products today that we're trying to address, and also what are some opportunities that we want to go towards and optimize for. Since this is such a large investment across Office 365, I want to spend some time walking you through some key feature areas that groups are going to light up in Office 365. Andrew, at the end, is going to go through much more details around it, but I want to make sure you have a broader view of the feature areas. I'm also going to cover architectural details around one key core capability in the Office 365 platform that we've invested in, which is around having one identity system for groups across Office 365. And then I'll address top-of-mind questions that you might have already with a new feature set like groups around its availability on on-premise, integration with Outlook, and how does it really compare with existing constructs that you already have in Exchange today. So we're going to talk about that. And then Andrew is going to spend majority of the time actually bringing these features to life by showing you live demos. So around group investments, like I said, this is one of the largest feature set investment that we've been working on for the past couple years. Exchange is a big part of it, but Exchange is only one part of it. As you know, Office 365 is powered by one of our powerful products, Exchange, SharePoint, and Yammer, and we are able to really take advantage of these capabilities and light up some amazing experiences that we would like to share. So let's take a look at why we invested in group feature set. So for that, we looked at what's not really working. As you know, we've been in this business of group communication and collaboration for a while now, and we have a lot of great assets. But really, for our users, it's still a very fragmented experience. What we know is in organizations, people come together, they self-organize to get stuff done for a shared intent. On the slide, you see a collage of different types of groups that might come together at work. Groups come together to get deliverables done or projects done, maybe 6 months, 2 years. They come together because of organizational boundaries. They might come together because of a major event like MEC, a conference. They also come together for some topic-based things that are relevant to them in their business and organization. And also, at the workplace, we've seen groups come together for some personal interests, for example, marathon runners, or in this example, I think there are a set of people interested in motorbiking. So we know groups form and self-organize an organization. So when they come together and they want to start communicating, sharing, collaborating to get stuff done, let's take a look at what they do with our tools today, and let's take a look at where the gaps and the seams are. Okay, so now I have a set of group that's come together and I want to start communicating. What do I do? Probably I want to start emailing, so I want a DL created. As an end user, I might not know how to create a DL, so I contact someone who knows how to create a DL, give them a list of members and say, hey, can you create a DL with these members? And then wait for the DL to come back. As the DL gets created and I start communicating, I might have new content created and I might have a need to actually store that. So of course, I'm gonna go and say, all right, I need a SharePoint site. I'm gonna go find someone who knows how to create a SharePoint site for me. I'm gonna give them the set of members that that need to have access to it. And then forget about creating a shared calendar. Most of end users don't even know what it means and how I would go about creating a shared calendar so I can actually have group-level events planning done. And then if you are an organization that is using Yammer, I might want to use a Yammer experience to really create a frictionless way of communicating and sharing with my group. So I then approach my Yammer IT department and I say, hey, can you create me a Yammer group and give them a set of members there? So as you can see where this is going, our tools, our products really show the seams in our experiences. And then when a new member comes in, I have to go track down each of those people and say, hey, can you add this person to the DL? Can you add this person to the SharePoint site, to the Yammer group, and shared calendar if someone is able to create it? So that's like group management and a mess that our users have to go through. But also, as I'm communicating, it's not at the tip of my fingertips. What was the DL alias that I have to use for? What was the SharePoint URL? You know, you find people emailing. Maybe if you're lucky, you bookmarked it. Maybe it's buried in your email. So you go back and forth in it. So based on that, it was very clear to us where we wanted to make investments to address this. So we made investments in three key type of areas. The first thing we made investment is around one group system, identity group system across Office 365. I'm going to share some more details later on, but we invested in one place across Office 365. No matter where you create the group from, we'll store, we'll be the master for all group identity information. By that I mean the group name, the alias, the membership, and then that would be shared across all the workloads in Office 365. So it wouldn't matter where you create the group, where you update the group from, whether it's from Exchange-powered modules or it's from SharePoint modules, the group information is going to be shared across the board. The second place we made investment is, and really for the end user, anytime they see a group that they care about, it's very consistent. No matter where they see the group, it should be very easy for the user to get to the group conversation, to get to the group calendar, to get to the group documents. They don't have to remember what was the alias or what was the URL. So we invested in that. And then, of course, each of the workloads, they do a great job in that particular workload. They invested in some deep experiences for the group. So you're going to see that investments through our key feature sets. All right, so that this summarizes where it seemed pretty basic. All right, Microsoft, you know the seams across your products, and you invested in doing that. But is that it? That, we believe, is just a start of something incredible that we're going to continue investing in. So the second area we looked into is, what are some trends in the workplace that we are seeing? What are some opportunities that we want to optimize for? How can we help businesses do better? And we know there are a lot of factors that go into businesses being successful, but how can we, as a software tool, provide better information? In order for businesses to really adapt to the changes, to be really responsive to their customers, to the employees, to the partners, one way that they can do that is if they're able to make effective decisions faster. One way we think we can help from the software perspective is by enabling them to discover the right information, the right people within their organization that can help make better decisions and get stuff done faster. We've seen this again and again in organizations where groups come together and they work on certain things, and that group of people, they iterate on that thing and they create some great IP around the project or anything that they're working on. But that IP gets locked within just that group. If those people leave, you know, nobody knows about their work. If it's not a secretive project, if it's not confidential, wouldn't it be nice if another group in the organization, maybe across the geography in a different department doing similar kind of stuff, could know about the IP generated, the documents generated? Wouldn't it be nice to really know who the subject matter experts are? Wouldn't it be nice let's say, a product development team, any kind of product development, wouldn't it be nice for product development teams to really know what the field and the sales is going on if there was a real-time connection to the data from the field to the engineering department? So how does this all relate to groups? The way it relates to groups is we're going to introduce groups in two types. Open and public is one type, and the other type is private. The idea behind open and public is unless you're not working on confidential and secretive stuff and you believe what you're working on will benefit others, we encourage users to create that group in a public manner. What that means is anybody who's interested in that project, and you can imagine any of the project that you're working on that you feel others in your organization will be interested in, can easily monitor, can easily join the group and stay in touch with the progress. We can also use this information if it's publicly available in the Office Graph that you probably heard throughout the that you probably heard at the keynote session and some couple sessions. We can use that information to connect people, other people who are interested in this detail. So you're going to see how groups are going to be created in two forms, open and private. So let me quickly walk you through some key feature areas that are going to light up. I'm going to give you a broad overview so you can really know the breadth of groups across Office 365. And then later, Andrew is going to go demo more deep into each of the areas. So one of the first concepts that I want to quickly iterate is, like I said, group is one unified concept across Office 365. What that means is once the group is created, Andrew's going to show how it's a one-step process. I define the group name, description, members. Once the group is created, it lights up across Office 365 suite. In this example, you're seeing I'm in Office 365 in the Outlook module. If you notice in the left side of the panel, Outlook module where you have your own inbox and folders, you see a list of groups that I care about, that I want to stay up to date. They're available to me right there. So any group conversation is just one step away to me, for me in Outlook. And behind the scene, what's happened is when I created the group, in Exchange, we created a group mailbox automatically for the user, which is going to store these group conversations. So it's going to be used by new members that they can that can use later. The second area is calendaring. We automatically also provision a shared calendar for the group, and again, it's available to you in the same user experience on the left panel in the calendaring experience. We automatically provision a SharePoint, a OneDrive for Business site, and a document library for the group. We provision a shared OneNote automatically for the group. Here's the site. And the group will be available to you in Yammer. And it's the same set of conversations that you will see for the group from Yammer and Outlook. So as you can see, for the user, it's just one-step process. I can be part of a lot of groups, but today, if I want to really keep up with a certain five or six groups, I can tell Office 365 about it. These are the groups I care about, and they light up consistently across the modules. All of these features are also going to be available to you when this goes live in the service and in our devices application, MOVA for devices, for iPhone, iPad, and Android. Now, let me quickly go through some Exchange-specific workloads and where we have invented and invested in. So in the group mail experience, like I talked about, you're going to have access to your group conversations right there. So here we have access to conversation right next to your inbox. We spend a lot of time also iterating on the experiences of the conversation. So it reads more top to bottom. You can see who started the conversation, who's replied to it. It's really optimized. It's really optimized for expressive conversations, which is we really celebrate the content. If you have URLs and YouTube videos, we give you a preview for that. It's optimized for a very lightweight, frictionless post and reply model. You can quickly take any conversation at the bottom of the conversation, able to do a quick reply. Also, there's a quick post to the group experience also available. And this is great because it allows you in a very quick way to share something with the group. But if you do have the need, which at times you would have, to really send a formatted message to the group, these groups are all addressable. And with one click away, you can compose an email to the group with all the same capabilities that you have in email and send it to the group. And of course, you have search. search, so you can, in future, refer back to some of the things in the group to get context. So these are the group mail experiences investments. We've also done, since we are on the service and we take advantage of SharePoint being available, we've also done some deep integration between group conversations and the group document library. Anytime you're going to have a document that's part of a group conversation and you're editing it, it's automatically going to be available to you in your group document library, so there's just one version of it. In the group conversation experience, when you are posting something to the group and you're attaching a document, there too you will have capabilities, A, to access your group OneDrive, and B, if you attach something as a physical attachment for the computer, from your computer, we will upload it to the group OneDrive. So it's really optimized for, as sharing within the group goes on, for the documents to be in one place and have one version of the truth. And then there's going to be group calendaring. The group calendar is available to you in the same immersive calendar experience that you're used to in OWA today. You can show it side by side along with your group. The group can manage all the events and milestones in that, and the group members or anyone else who's interested in the events of the group can take a look at the events, and if it's relevant to you, you can add it to your own calendar, which blocks your free busy. And this is just not a dummy copy add-in to your calendar. We actually maintain the links. So as updates happen in the group, you get updates in your personal calendar. And then groups also show up. The same set of groups will also show up in your people module. That's where you can quickly see who the members are. You can do member management. You can see who the admins are and make changes around it. So this really gives you a broad overview of how vast the group investments are across the suite. We've taken advantage of the fact that all our major products are available in the suite, so we can do deep integration between them. Now let me quickly talk about the one group system, identity system I talked about in the beginning. So one of the key things that we wanted to solve was how the group identity information is just stored in one place and shared across Office 365. It shouldn't really reside in each of the experiences like it does today. So for that, all our master group information, the identity information, for example, the group name, the description, the membership, and any common properties like photos, is stored in one master, which is Azure AD. We store it in one place, there's one master to it, and then all the other workloads, it's a very federated, loosely coupled model, where all the workloads, for example, Exchange, SharePoint, and Yammer, will create their respective resources. For example, Exchange is going to create a group mailbox. SharePoint is going to create its site and document library, and Yammer is going to create a Yammer group for it. You can initiate a group creation from any of these workloads. It's going to save it to the master. All the other workloads will get notified so they can go and provision their own resources. And then the master can retain through APIs. Master basically lets you give access to the URLs to the resources. What's the group mailbox? What's the SharePoint site, as an example? So as you can see, it's a very federated, loosely model, and it sets us up for success as we integrate more modules. For example, here's just an example. Oh, the example got taken out. For example, as we would integrate other modules, like, for example, Link, how groups will light up in Link in the future, with this model, again, Link will integrate to the master AD and get all the group information from master AD. All right, so before we go to the demos, we wanted to talk quickly about some top-of-mind questions that you probably already have. Is this service only? When am I going to get it on-prem? Like you probably heard throughout all the sessions, it's not about service only. It's just service first. A big feature area like groups, which is new, releasing it in service, as you know, allows us to iterate and get customer feedback faster. It's a vast investment. We can release feature areas in batches, get feedback, iterate on it. And then as we plan our on-prem products. And as we plan on-prem products and plan what goes into the on-prem products, all these feature sets would be considered. So as we have more details around it, we will share when groups will be available in which on-prem SKU. Same thing, I'll actually tackle the last question, we've heard it again and again. This is great. I can participate in groups from OWA, but a lot of my users use Outlook Desktop. When am I going to get groups in Outlook Desktop? And again, we absolutely realize that, and we're working very closely with the Outlook team to figure out the timeline of when groups will light up in Outlook Desktop. And as soon as we have that information, you'll be the first one to know. So how does this all relate to the existing constructs that I have, DL, site mailboxes, shared mailboxes? So here I wanted to just make two key points. The first point is it's very clear, hopefully it's very clear that for group communication and collaboration with groups is the feature set that we want to take forward as far as continuing to make new investments. You're going to continue to see more deeper and deeper investments into groups. And that's why we did some deep core capabilities around the identity system, created a really federated model so we can really light up new experiences. So groups is where we're going to continue to invest. Groups are going to be released, and it's going to get richer and richer over a period of time. So during that period, depending on your scenarios, so for example, groups comes out in later this year, and yes, it's only going to come out in service first. If you are in service, for example, and you're looking at creating, your users are looking at creating new groups to collaborate and communicate, we would really recommend to take a look at groups and its feature set and see if that fulfills it. We would like you to use groups. When you're considering other constructs like site mailboxes and shared mailboxes, again, compare the scenarios. For example, in site mailboxes, groups are not available on-prem. So, so you'll say, okay, I'm going to wait for it to come on-prem. But let's just take hypothetically, when groups do come on-prem, what do I use? Again, try to see your scenarios. Did you want a richer group collaboration that has documents, that has conversation, that has calendaring? If that's what Yammer feed integration, if that's what you want, you would go with groups. But if you really wanted site mailboxes are really right now scoped to conversation and documents and having documents URL in Outlook, at that point in time, if that's what you're really looking for, then yes, you would use site mailboxes. And over a period of time, as groups become richer and richer and it supports scenarios of existing constructs, we would like to make things simpler where we have fewer and fewer constructs. So as we get to that point, we will come up with plans and share with you of how you can migrate or plan to migrate from existing constructs to groups. So we're going to share that detail as we come along. All right. With that, the next session is demos. We will have a session of FAQ at the end, but maybe we'll just pause and see if there are some pressing questions before we go into demos that you have. Okay. So Andrew's going to show us some live demos around these key features.
Can you hear me okay? Awesome, thank you. It'd be a shame if I did the whole demo and no one could hear. Great. So the first demo, or the first thing that I want to show you, is actually not a demo at all. I know, really cruel. But as you can see here in this nice illustration at the bottom, Sonia just led us through this great overview. I'm going to lead us through kind of less exciting overview of what I'm about to show you. And then we'll get to the real stuff that you're here for, which is the demos. So I have two slides to show you. If it takes me more than 3 minutes to cover them, I encourage you to storm out of the room in anger. First, I want to say we're innovating in the service first. Now, you've probably heard this a lot, and so I won't go into it in detail, but I just want to recount that this lets us innovate faster, it lets us get our solutions to customers faster, And in addition, it also lets us share what we're building earlier in the process. And that's something that's particularly exciting for us today, because that's why we're able to show you groups. With that said, please keep in mind that there may be some hiccups during the demo, because this is live code. And additionally, we're still building groups, so the UI you see may actually change by the time we get to general availability. So let's talk about what we're actually going to see today. We're going to spend the majority of our time on a public group. And we're going to see end-to-end the group in action and how it makes the user experience simpler when communicating and collaborating. After we get through that, we're going to then see how you can get the same experience improvements for a private group in the events where you need to lock down the access to that content to just the list of members of the group. Next, we'll look at how easy it is to create a group. And remember that you create a group once and you get it across the suite. And after that, we'll look at topic-based groups and how they can help connect your users with information and build stronger ties across your organization. That's the end of the end user experiences, but we'll also cover some slides. We don't have a demo today, but we will cover some slides of the control that we'll put in IT admin's hands and the user experience that you can expect in the Office 365 admin console. Now we get to go to the demo. But I have to wake up my machine. Okay. Great. So for the rest of the talk, I'm no longer Andrew from Microsoft. I'm Andrew from Contoso. And I'm a member of the marketing department, and I'm also the compliance department liaison. Right now, what you see is my personal Outlook web app, lovingly referred to as OWA. And in case you haven't seen this recently, depending on how many sessions you've been for OWA, we'll quickly walk through so we can get a recap of what we see. On the left-hand side, we see my personal folders. I have my inbox and the folders I favorited. Beneath that, you'll see a groups section. And underneath the groups, I have each of the groups that I'm a member of. In this case, you see logo and branding, compliance department, UT Austin Longhorns, and Northwind Traders. In the middle column are each of the conversations sent to me. And then if I want to see the individual messages that make up any conversation, I can find that in the right-hand column. Now, if I go ahead and click on the logo and branding group, you'll see that I'm in a completely new space. So let's take a minute to see what's here. On the left-hand side, I still have the same familiar navigation. There's my personal folders at the top and the groups section below. I still have the same set of groups easily at my fingertips. But then in the middle column, something's changed. Now I'm looking at the group conversations. I can scroll up and down the list and see each of the conversations in the group. And as you might expect, I can select any of the conversations and see the complete list of messages in that conversation at the right. Sonia talked about what we're doing to make conversations better, more fluid, and more expressive. And so I'll go through a few of those examples in the live demo so you can see them in action. This first conversation is an example of how we're embracing visual beauty in emails. So you can see that you can include an image in a mail, and it looks beautiful. Next, if we move on to the next conversation, you can see the inline preview in action. And I want to point out what I previously would have had to do at Contoso before these previews. If someone referred to a link, I would have to evaluate whether that link was important without any information about it, click on it, open it in a new tab, and constantly switch back and forth if I wanted to refer to the email. Here, at least I get a preview of what that link is, and I get some visuals to help me understand what images might be in that website. In addition, as you saw perhaps in our keynote, I can also get a preview for a YouTube video. So not only do I see what the YouTube video is about and a quick summary of that video, but if I click here, I can play that video inline. Again, without even leaving my messaging experience, I've brought new information to me so that I can get my job done faster and easier and be less likely to get distracted or lose context, causing me to take extra time. I think we'll take questions at the end. Thank you. So next we see an example of a calendar item that's been scheduled on the group calendar. And we'll see the group calendar in a minute. But what's neat about scheduling items on the group calendar is that they automatically send something into the group conversations. So this item can be used for awareness, and it can also be used to start a conversation for planning, carpooling, or investigations that need to be done in advance of that meeting. And groups not only get to take advantage of these conversation model improvements that we've made, but they also take advantage of improvements we've made across the OS suite. One of these is Doc Collab. And the session that's right after this session in the same place is on Doc Collab, presented by Kip and Joey. But what you see is that if I simply click on the document, it's going to load in a side-by-side view. And what's really neat is I can actually click through the document and, in this case, see the actual transitions for that PowerPoint. I can also see the conversation. I can see what people may have asked me to do. I can make comments in the conversation and update people on my thoughts. You'll see that in more detail if you stick around for the next session. Excuse me. And the last thing I'll show in the group conversations is that you can see the entire history of the group conversations. So I can see all the way back until when the group was created. Now you might be wondering, great, I can see that there's some rich content within the conversations. How do I participate? Well, we've made it easier than ever by introducing the quick reply and quick posting abilities. For example, if I wanted to say, to respond to this message, I could simply click on the reply all, type a reply. In real life, it would be more clever and more valuable. And all I would need to do is click this send button. For now, I'm going to discard that. Then I'll show you how I would start a new conversation. I guess, actually, I'm going to take a pause for a minute. We want to show you always the newest software. So if you don't mind waiting while I upgrade my office, I'll be back with you shortly. Just kidding. Okay. So let me close this just to make sure everyone was able to see how I got that open. Here I am in the conversation space, and if I want to start a new conversation, all I need to do is click on this Start a Group Conversation, and boom, I have quick post. I can easily type a message, and again, sending is at my fingertips. For now, I'll actually discard this message as well so that I can show you one additional way that I can choose to send a message. It's nice to have quick reply and quick post, but sometimes I need to send a longer message, and some of those messages have rich formatting. If I want to send a message with rich formatting, I just need to add the group to the to line. Type a message with rich formatting. And I cheated a little bit by pasting in a message with rich formatting, but you can see how easy it is then to get this richly formatted email to the group. All I need to do is press send. Users are going to see exactly what I've typed here. Great. So we've shown the conversations in the Outlook view. Now let's take a look at conversations in the Yammer view. When I created my group, I got one group identity across all of the Office 365 resources. And that means that when you go to the Yammer feed, you're going to see the same set of conversations in the Yammer feed. You may recognize this image and this text from the message that you saw in Outlook view, because we're seeing the same conversations everywhere. So great. We've seen some of the perks of the new conversations that allow us to be more effective when we're communicating with others. What about the rest of the group? Well, to explore that, let me point you to the very top of this middle column. You're looking at what we call the group header. And next to the photo, there are three buttons that are particularly important, next to the name of the group and the description of whether that group is public and private. The first button is Add Members. If I want to add members to the group at any time, because they should be looped in and would enjoy access to the resources, I can add them so that they get an email in their inbox that tells them they're added to the group, and they'll get easy access to that group in their navigation. I can also choose to subscribe to the group. And that's what the second button you see is there. When I subscribe to the group, I'm going to get a copy of every message sent to the group in my personal inbox. And that includes calendar invites for any event that's scheduled with the group. This is particularly helpful for projects that are very important to me and projects that may have an urgent deadline coming up where I really want to stay on top of things. I'll show you now how easy it is to subscribe. I'm now subscribed to that group. If I click the same button, maybe a few weeks later, because I no longer need to be subscribed to this group, our deadline has passed, you'll see how easy it is to control that preference. The next thing I'll show you is this third button. When I click on that dot, dot, dot menu, you see all of the key actions I can take. The top section is navigation within the group, and the bottom section are the settings and other actions that I can take against the group. Next, we're going to take a look at the group calendar. So I'll go ahead and click Calendar. Now, what you see here is that I'm looking at the group calendar. There are a bunch of things that are on the group calendar this week. And my demo was supposed to be set up so that I could show you something really cool out of the box. So this is what I wanted to show you, that I can easily have multiple calendars selected. In this case, you see that I have my personal calendar and also my logo and branding calendar. Just like existing features, I have the ability to choose the color for the calendars that I'm seeing, and I can easily use this to tell me what's happening over the course of my week. In my case, at Contoso, I actually have important responsibilities for both the logo and branding group and the compliance department group. So if I go ahead and select both, I can easily get a sense of my time commitments over the week and plan accordingly. Now if I deselect the compliance department calendar and my personal calendar, we can take another look at the group calendar. And it's easy to tell everything that's going on within that group from this view. More importantly, if I find a meeting that's important for me to attend, I can click on that meeting and simply click on this Add to My Calendar button. When I click on that, the meeting is automatically added to my personal calendar and accepted, so that I'm going to get reminders and know to go when that meeting comes up. We've seen, in essence, how easy it is to get to the group calendar. People no longer have to know that they need to add the calendar. They're going to get it as soon as they're a member of the group, easily in their navigation. But what about if I wanted to schedule something on the calendar? Well, this is another place where we get to take advantage of the great UI that's being built in OWA. So if I simply click and drag from 2 p.m. to 3 p.m., I can say the name of the meeting that I'd like to create. And if I press Enter, I've now created an event on the group calendar. It was that easy. If I want to go edit additional details, I can double-click on the calendar and continue to edit. But that's really all I needed to do in this case, and that's all it took to get a conversation sent to the group conversations so that there will be awareness of the meeting, and for the meeting to be automatically accepted on the group calendar. Sorry. There's one more thing that you should know there, but I can't remember it, so I apologize. You can see, though, at the top, when I go to the dot, dot, dot option, that I have the same ability to move around the group from the calendar as I did from conversations. So this really ties the group together. And we'll see that in a moment, the membership experience. Excuse me. Now we're going to move to the membership experience. So, as I clicked on members, you can see that I have a rich view of each of the members in this group. This is valuable because this is one of the first experiences where the member management and the group management are really built in and not bolted on, to steal Christian's term from earlier. I can see the members in the group, I can see the subset of those members who are admins, and it's easy for me to adjust who's admins or remove people from the group. For example, if Rob has recently left the team, I just have to hover over Rob, use this option, and remove admin status. And now Rob is no longer an admin. If I wanted to make someone else an admin, I can simply go back to the All view, click on Allie, and make Allie an admin. I could also choose to remove her from the group. These are abilities that I have because I'm a group admin. And a group admin, just like the rest of the members, enjoys the same access to the group, but they also have these special permissions to manage the membership across the group. Everyone can join a group or leave a group if it's public, but only the group admin can remove someone else from the group. Now, next we're going to take a look at documents, and I just want to ask by show of hands, how many people in their own personal experience or in the experience of their users have ever wanted to use a SharePoint site to keep their documents, but couldn't remember the URL? I know I have. And now, with groups, you no longer have to remember URLs. If you're really excited to type in SharePoint URLs into your browser, you can continue to do that. But for the rest of us, I can simply click on the same option at the top. Excuse me, I'll dismiss that. I can click on the same option at the top and click on Documents. And you see that I'm easily redirected to the group documents. What's great is that users don't need to know that this is backed by SharePoint, but it's backed by the same SharePoint site and document libraries that we've come to use. That means you can click on the Sync button near the top of the page to get offline copies synced to your local machine for offline scenarios if you're traveling or on the plane. It also means that it's just as easy to create a new document or upload an existing document. And I won't show it right now, but you can drag and drop documents to upload them. So now that there's an easy way to get to the documents, and it's easy as ever to upload those documents, there's really fewer barriers for users when they want to get to group documents and find them. And that also encourages people to publish the documents in the single place so that they can have one version of the truth. As part of the documents, we also have a OneNote notebook. And as you surely already know, OneNote has vast possibilities for how it can be used. You could use it for meeting notes or areas to investigate or other lists that the team needs to keep. If I click on logo and branding at the top, I'm going to get back to the group site. And you'll see that this group site, just like any other SharePoint team site, can be customized with lists and apps. In this case, we've added a survey so that we can tell which of the designs that we're considering in this group are most valuable to continue pursuing. Now, we've taken a look at a group end-to-end. We saw how across conversations, across calendar, members, documents, and site, we're making it easier for users to get to the content and to put content in one place. We'll now take a look at private groups and how I get the same experience even when it's important to lock down membership. Oops, excuse me. So I mentioned that I'm a compliance department liaison, and as part of my responsibilities, I like to keep up to date with this group. You can see here at the top that it indicates it's a private group. But you can also see that I have access to each of the views of the group that I have with the public group. I happen to know that there's another group called Executive Cabinet, and, oops, let me try that one more time. Whoops. There we go. My shortcut to bring up the group card wasn't actually that short. I apologize. But if I bring up the card for this group, I can easily tell that it's a private group, looking at the top of the card. When I try to click on one of the group entry points to get into group conversations, for example, I can see that I don't have access to this group, and therefore, I can't see the contents. The one other thing that I will show you so that we can see why that happens is if I pull up the card again, I can switch back and forth between the info about the group and the members, and I can see there's a list of members, and I, Andrew, am not in this list. And that's why I can see, oh, I don't have access to the contents of this group. If I wanted to, it's very easy for me from that point to join the group. Now, let's take a look at group creation. If I click on this More menu, I have a quick entry point into group creation. And this form is going to let me create a group once. It's going to be created across Office 365 properties. I'm going to get one identity, one set of membership, and all of the views and resources that you've seen. All I need to do is type in a group name. Type in a description, and I can add members now if I'd like. In this case, I'll choose to add them later and just click Save. And now, in a few seconds, we'll see the group easily gets created, and as promised, we have one group with one identity across the suite. Next, I'm actually going to show you. Great. So now I've not only created the group, I've landed in the group. And you can see that it's already set up with a welcome message to the group. I can reply to that message. I can easily get to the other parts of the group and begin to add members, for example. So we've taken a look at public groups from end to end. We've taken a look at private groups. We've now taken a look at group creation as well. I want to show one more case of public groups that we think is valuable, in particular, topic-based public groups. So there's a public group I happen to know called Tech Troubleshooting in our organization. And normally I do okay on my own and don't need a lot of help in tech troubleshooting. But last night, I may have had a little bit too much to drink and lost the drivers for my Dell Venue 8 Pro. So I'm wondering if maybe someone can help me out. Whoops. Once again, my shortcut wasn't as short as I hoped. There we go. Great. So I've now pulled up the card for this group, and if I enter the group conversations, I can actually search to see if someone may have answered my question before. So if I go up here to search, press enter, great. I can see that actually Sonia was kind enough to post this recently, a link to the Dell drivers. So all I would need to do then is click on this and I should be ready to go. One additional thing is maybe there's a social topic-based group. For example, we're near UT Austin, and maybe UT Austin people could help us find some interesting things to do around Austin. So if I click on New, I can actually, from anywhere in OWA, whoops, I can actually send a message to that group. I could upload an attachment, for example, if I had a deck of ideas of what I wanted to do with that group. Sorry, what I wanted to do in Austin. And in this case, I'll send it as an attachment so that people on the plane will still be able to read it. And I can fire that off to the group. So that's actually a look at how I might interact with topic-based public groups and how people might then be able to quickly help me with my problem because I've located the correct community. So now we'll take a look at the IT admin experience. As I mentioned, we'll show some slides for the IT admin experience. And we are, just like groups itself, we're continuing to build on the admin experience. For now, in addition to what you see, you'll be able to use the PowerShell commandlets against group mailboxes, just like you could against regular mailboxes. And in addition, we'll have a UI that helps IT admins see groups across their organization. Now, the UI that IT admins will have is the only UI across Office 365 that will let the user manage the membership of all groups in their organization. And for each group, you can see a listing of that group, whether it's public or private. And if you drill into it, you can see a list of membership. From this membership list, you'll actually be able to add members, remove members, or even change whether a member is a group admin or a regular member. This is really valuable in cases where perhaps the group admins have left the organization and the group is otherwise left with no admins. Here's an example of that now. Now, that's a quick look. We are, we'll be here for questions if you have more questions. And in the meantime, I wanted to quickly mention a few related sessions that are coming up. We have the document collaboration section, which is next. Then tomorrow morning, we have a manageability session that Warren is giving with Julie. And in addition to that, there's a 30-minute session at lunch tomorrow on groups and new experiences, such as attachments. In the deck, there's also a slide that has links to sessions earlier today or yesterday, so that you can quickly get to those pages and download the videos if you want to see other things that are going on around OWA. And we wanted to thank you for your time today and for checking out the introduction to groups. If you would, we would appreciate very much if you would evaluate, fill out your evaluations. And with that, we get on to the more important thing, which is your questions. Thank you. Yes. So the question was, are Office 365 groups replacing distribution lists? And I think we can bring up that slide again. But as Sonia mentioned earlier, we are right now building out the groups experience. And we are not replacing distribution lists.
I can add to that.
If you want to take that question.
Sorry about that. So as we said, like, groups are going to be released and get richer over a period of time, right? And so you've seen the capabilities of groups. The big difference between groups and DL right now is DL is a shortcut to send emails to a set of people, right? And there is no choice for the members whether they want to receive or not. With groups, what you see is the default is that people will have group conversation in the group mailbox, and then they will opt in. Each member can decide to opt in and say, I want this group just either pinned in my experience, or actually I want it subscribed in my inbox, right? And over a period of time, we actually have plans around certain types of groups. As a group creator, you can decide what your default is. So when you take a look at that, groups is actually a little bit more powerful, where it gives the ability to the users to actually decide which groups are important to me rather than the creator deciding that. So for the first release, both the constructs will exist, and we're going to iterate, and we're going to get feedback around it. And in future, like I said, we're going to look into all existing constructs And if you feel that groups actually fulfills all the requirements, we will look towards moving DLs, constructs like DLs, to groups.
So the question was about licensing and whether groups, how groups fit into the licensing model. And we actually don't have that information at this time. That's something that we'll be ready to share closer to general availability.
Yes. So right now we're looking at group releasing in the service sometime later this year. Yes. Conversations are actually stored in Exchange, and when the Yammer group is created, it a Yammer group feed is also created and it interrupts. So it's at both the places, and it's synchronized. So anytime you have a conversation posted in Exchange, it shows up. So it's at two places right now, but synchronized. So for the user, it's the same set of conversations.
So there's a question about a mailbox link that's on the group site. And the question, if I understand correctly, is that a link back to the same mailbox we saw earlier? And the answer is yes. And I think there's so to be more clear, the answer is that there's one mailbox that has group conversations. And that's the only place within Outlook that you will see group conversations. You will also see group conversations within the Yammer feed. But those are the two places where they will be stored. I think there's an implicit question there about, we saw one navigation model where you could use the dot, dot, dot menu to travel around the group when we were looking for the first three views. And when we got to the SharePoint site in the document library, we saw a different model for how to get around the group. That's actually something we're aware of, that can cause some confusion. And we're working very closely with SharePoint to improve that. So that you should expect to get better as we iterate and release faster. Correct.
Any links that you see in the SharePoint site to group Outlook conversations and calendaring will direct you to the experience that Andrew showed for groups.
Okay. Yeah. Is it possible to put a meeting into a group calendar by inviting it to a meeting?
Yes. So you can start So repeating the question, thank you. The question is it possible to put an event, a meeting, on a group calendar by inviting a group? And the answer is yes. Groups are addressable entities, so you could be scheduling a meeting, and you could be inviting one or more groups and people, and it will land in the group mailbox.
The question was, is there a way to delete the group if it's no longer used? Or is there a way to have groups automatically deleted if they're not used for a period of time? There is a way for group admins to delete the group. And though I didn't show it, within that dot, dot, dot menu, you also saw a group settings entry. And from there, the users, group admins, only can delete the group. As far as automatically deleting the group over time, that's one of the areas that we're continuing to build out. And we're looking at how we can how we can provide that functionality. Was there a question? Yes. Thank you for waiting also.
Actually, I got two of them. Two totally unrelated. One, you said that when you subscribe to a group, you will get all messages that had been sent to that group before you actually subscribe?
No. So. Yeah, so actually, if I said that, then I misquoted. When you subscribe to the group, from that point onwards, any communications that's sent to the group, you're going to get a copy of it. So let's say you joined the group that had existed for 5 years. And when you join the group, you have access to all the past history by pinning the group. But if you want, from that point onwards, to get a copy of the group in your mailbox,
then you have to subscribe to it, and it's only subscription will only happen from that point onwards. We don't go back and take all the conversations to and copy it to your inbox, because it's available to you at your fingertips anyways. Yes, so you can get access to the group mailbox. So you can access all the past conversations to it. We're also looking into scenarios where you can take any of the conversations and maybe forward it to yourself, so you can have another rich copy. If the contents are, that's a really good question. I don't know. I'll have to. Oh, sorry. Sorry. The question is, if you have a YouTube video URL in the conversation, and if the preview is blocked because of the content, what would you see? I don't know the answer to that. I'll have to find out.
So we're lucky enough to have some subject matter experts here in the room, so that might be one where after the formal questions, we can get some conversation going afterwards. Yes, sorry.
Sorry, no, go ahead. So automatically created maybe from a line of business that kicks off.
The idea similar to Dynamic Distributed Traffic. Yeah. Right? You have the same functionality
Yeah. Those are really good scenarios for the first set of. Thank you, Jason. The question is, are we looking into scenarios where groups are created dynamically? And one of the examples is from the line of business, if a new team was created, can that be reflected in the group system? And the answer to that is that for the first release, we don't have support for a dynamic creation. But as you saw in our architectural model, it's a very federated, loosely coupled model. In future, the architecture at least supports where you can hook in line of businesses into it. But currently, that capability is not there. For the first release.
That capability doesn't exist today. So the question was, are groups a replacement for team sites, or are they an alternative to team sites? And the answer is that really what you saw today was a team site. It's just connected to the group. And so we view this as the next step towards bringing things better together across the suite.
Yeah, when you do a search on a group conversation, since both the conversations are synced, no matter, it's actually, if you're in the Outlook, it's going against the group mailbox, and if you're Yammer, it's going in the Yammer group feed, but the results to the user is the same because the conversations are actually synced to be exactly the same. You cannot, yes, that we even don't have in the Outlook module yet. I think you're referring to cross workload specific. Can I put in a search entry and I get all conversation, calendar items, documents for the group? We don't have that capability yet. Yes. Oh, sorry,
And we'll take both questions and then I think we'll wrap up. We'll be around for more questions if there are any more afterwards.
So the question here is that if you had a really important information in your mailbox, can you share and forward it to the group? And the answer is absolutely yes. Group is an addressable entity. Like when you created the group, it actually got an email address, an alias for it. So you can take any of your email conversation, hit the forward button, type in the group name, it will resolve it, and then it's going to show up in the group mailbox in that experience.
So the question, and that's about group deletion, before I repeat the question. So the question was about group deletion and the ability to recover and the timeline for recovery. And that's actually something that we don't have the answer for yet. It's a scenario we know is important and that we have to invest in, but I can't yet tell you what the timeline will be for how long you might be able to recover the group. Yes. So the question was, are we thinking through the transition of existing Yammer groups and existing sites into the Office 365 groups that we saw today? And just like the other kind of features that we have that we've talked about, yes, we are thinking about that, especially as we think about how we're growing groups and building the scenarios that we need moving forward. But we don't yet have plans to share about how that would happen.
Yes.
That's a question I don't know the answer to offhand.
Sorry, the question was, in the group admin console, do I have access to all the groups, even the groups created by my executives? And even private groups, yes.
Oh, yes. Sorry, I misheard the question. So if a group is created in Yammer,
It's not Yammer. It's any private group created in the group admin console, does the tenant admin have access to those groups? Remember you shared your list of groups?
Sorry, I think I misunderstand the question. If you understand it, then...
So the answer is yes. Private groups are not secret groups, for example. Yammer, as you know, support three types of groups, public, private, and secret. Private groups are actually in the AD, so it's the existence of a private group is known. What you don't know is the conversation around it, right? So for tenant admin perspective, when they want to see a list of the groups and all the groups that's created, you see both public and private. Did you have? For the directory, sorry. Sorry. Okay. The answer is no. And for private groups, unless you're a member, you cannot get access to it. If you request a join, the join has to be approved by the group admin. Sorry about that.
So let's wrap up, and we'll still be around if there are more questions. We're happy to discuss any additional questions you may have.
Yep.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you.